Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. This is episode 27 of the Geek Speak podcast, coming to you from Production B at Brooklyn College Radio. Now, some of you might be asking, Ian, what are you doing in Production B as opposed to live on the air like you always are on Thursdays? Well, that would be a question that I am more than happy to answer. And quite simply, the answer is this. I was recording my show perfectly fine, and about maybe 10 minutes in, without my notice, mind you, because I'm actually recording the show in Production B while I'm in Master Control, because it's easier for me to edit in this room, so that's the way things go. And, of course, as I did that, somebody pressed the wrong button, and before I knew it, about 45 minutes of my show did not get recorded. And not to toot my own horn, it was a damn good show, and I'm a bit upset about that, to say the least, so I might be a bit on the edgier side today, and that might pretty much be the reason right there. In fact, not even just might, that is going to be the reason right there. So bear with me here as I re-record this show from the ground up, and I hope you guys still enjoy it as I do so. And we got a lot to talk about on today's show, beginning with news coming out of Sony, and two news stories coming out of Sony, both of which not even close to good news. Number one, the PlayStation 3 is officially delayed. Number two, the fact that they have lost their suit against the creators of their Rumble Pack technology, that is Immersion Corp. And it looks like they're going to have to be paying some money. How much are they going to have to pay? Well, we'll let you know on today's show. Also, is Katamari Damacy done? The second We Love Katamari game was supposed to be the end of the run for the PlayStation 2 version of the series, and they are coming out with a PSP version of the series pretty soon, but is there more PlayStation 2, or possibly even PlayStation 3, or Xbox to come? Well, we'll get into that on today's show. And also some news on HD DVDs as well. You got your HD DVDs pre-ordered at Walmart or Kmart or Best Buy or any places like that? Well, I got some news for you. It might be a bit of a wait. How long is it going to be? I have absolutely no idea, but I'll let you know what the deal is on today's show. And some news coming out of the Sci-Fi Channel. Ever wanted to be a superhero? Well, now's your opportunity. Who wants to be a superhero? I think pretty much every geek out there who's been a comic book fan would answer me, I want to be a superhero. But it's a reality show, so will it be demeaning, or will it actually be true to life? We'll get into that as the show rolls on. Star Wars, they have themselves a TV series coming up, and it's been guaranteed by the creators that they will have 100 episodes. Will the networks think differently? Or will it even last that long? Well, the show will talk about that. And ever wanted to dual boot your Macintosh Intel product with Windows XP as well? Well, you're going to have a shot to do that now. Yep, the dual booter has been released, and I'll give you all the information on that. It basically has to do with a contest that was run. And I'll get into the news on said contest on today's show. And also bear with me as the show goes on, as because I am producing this from Production B, I have no internet. So I'm doing it the old-fashioned way yet again, as it looks like I am stuck reading it from printouts. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. But let's get things going with that Sony news and start things off with the PlayStation 2, since that is the one that's out right now and not the one that's just a pipe dream that is going to be coming out in November. I'm sure it's not going to be vaporware, but you might have to wait a bit longer for the PlayStation 3. But let's get to the PlayStation 2 first. News coming out of Immersion Corp that Immersion Corp, which developed and licenses touch feedback technology, sometimes used in game controllers, has won the latest round in its long-running legal debate against PlayStation 2 manufacturer Sony regarding the DualShock Rumble technology used in all PlayStation 2 game controllers. This comes after Microsoft settled against the company back in July 2003 for similar Xbox-related patent violations and continuing settlements with smaller companies, most recently peripheral maker ElectroSource, thanks to Immersion's wide-ranging patent on the concept. In the last ruling against Sony made in early 2005, Judge Claudia Wilkin of the U.S. District Court levied an $82 million award to Immersion Corp, or 1.37% of Sony's sales of PlayStation and PlayStation-related paraphernalia. The $82 million is less than the $299 million. Oh my god, I can build like 80 houses with that. Originally sought by Immersion Corp, but the court ruled that Sony's infringement of the vibration patents was not willful and therefore not deserving of the full penalties. However, in this latest ruling appealing that $82 million reward, according to a Wall Street Journal report, Sony's defense was the alleged non-disclosure of some of the inventions of key employee Craig Thorner, who has been a consultant both for Immersion and subsequently for Sony. But according to the report, U.S. District Judge Claudia Wilkin was unhappy with Thorner's testimony supporting Sony, given that he had also been paid by Sony. Uh-oh. And so dismissed this line of defense. Can you say busted? According to this report, another appeal in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is expected to be heard this year, but it's expected that the matter will be finally resolved one way or another in the next few months. So what does this mean for PlayStation 2 and Sony? Well, you know what? It means, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. I covered a story on Immersion a couple of episodes back. In fact, it was a long, long time ago, back in like episode 4 or 5 or something like that. But what I covered then was that Immersion Corp won the $82 million. And now it looks like it's going to be winning even more money. You know what, Sony? You deserve it. Even if you had one of their former employees under your camp, it was still their technology. Immersion are the guys that put it together. Now, obviously, the DualShock is one of the most popular gaming controllers out there. It's the one that's probably the easiest on the hands, and when you're playing fighting games, there's nothing you'd rather have than the DualShock. But if it wasn't their creation in the first place, I'm thinking a bit differently about the DualShock controller. Now, Immersion getting all this money, this isn't the first time they got money. In fact, they made a huge settlement with Microsoft over the Xbox controllers, as Xbox pretty much did the same thing. They pretty much took their technology and said, you know what, I really, really like this. Let's put this in our gaming systems. Yeah, great idea. Especially the part where you didn't pay Immersion for using any of their patents. Yeah, wonderful idea there. But you know what, Microsoft actually is partnered with Immersion now. So, big coincidence that Sony got sued again. And by partners, I pretty much mean that I'm pretty sure that Microsoft owns a big chunk of the company now. So, pretty interesting situation, I guess. Now, this is not the only problem that PlayStation has been dealing with this week, and this news comes out of CNETnews.com, brought to me by none other than David Price, my newsman, once again getting a story on the show. And I feel like I'm Kevin Rose sometimes when I'm reading this, and thanks a lot to BJizz47 for giving me this news, and there you go. But you know what, my guys have real names. Like, thank you very much, David Price. And before I get going with the actual news here, I'd like to take a moment. David had asked me this in his recent email, so I'd be more than happy to answer that for him. He asked me what music I play on the show, and my answer to that is that I mostly play anime soundtracks on the show. You know, the in-between segment music, most of that is basically soundtracks from my favorite animes. The Gungrave soundtrack, both soundtracks actually, OST 1 and 2. I've got the Hellsing soundtrack in there. That would be the Raid disc that I use for my wind-up music. And I've got from Cromartie High, I've got a couple of their stuff. And a whole bunch of other goodies that I throw in there. Because, you know what? Anime music usually gets overlooked. Everybody always looks at the game music as the source of all that wonderful composing and all that, but animes have great music too. And I'd like to thank the multiple companies that, you know, put out this work. Geneon's been doing a great job of putting out the anime soundtracks for a whole bunch of their properties, and Pioneer's been putting out a bunch of great stuff for their properties, and Bandai, and everybody. They do a wonderful job, and that's pretty much the music that I play. I might be switching over to Pontsafe in a couple of weeks, but bear with me on that, because I actually need to get a system down where I'm actually able to play these off of the CD, which means first I need to actually record them. So we're going to have to wait and see how that turns out. But for now, I'm using the anime soundtracks, and most of my stuff is found on, like I said, the Gungrave, the Helsing, the Cromartie, and the Ghost in a Shell. And that's most of my stuff there. But anyway, going back to the news, here is the report out of CNETnews.com. Sony delays PlayStation launch to November, which is pretty much when we expected it to be delayed, and, well, now it's been confirmed. If you've been waiting anxiously for Sony's PlayStation 3, well, get ready to wait a little longer. Sony on Wednesday confirmed that it's pushing back the worldwide release date for the game console to early November. The company cited delays in finalizing copyright protection specifications in the Blu-ray standard, which will be the underlying high-definition DVD format for the PlayStation 3. The PS3 had been scheduled to debut this spring. The company is aiming to release the console simultaneously in the US, Europe, and Japan, which, by the way, is a recent development, and I think it's a pretty good idea to get it all released at the same time. Usually adds a lot more hype to it. When you just release it in Japan first, well, everybody's still clamoring for it, and they could also see if it sucks or not before anybody else does, which is usually a bad sign. So hey, why not just release it to everybody? Rival Microsoft launches next-generation Xbox 360 device in November 2005. The PS3 postponement would be a second black mark for Sony, which also faces much higher component costs. Even with the delay, Sony hopes to ship 6 million units around the globe by the end of the year. Ken Kutaragi, CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment, said at a press briefing in Tokyo, the company plans to bolster its manufacturing capacity so that it can produce 1 million units per month, he said. That is a lot. Kutaragi also said that the new PlayStation will have a 2.5-inch 60-gigabyte hard drive and will run the Linux operating system. So, not too surprising the Linux there, as had Sony decided to go with something like Microsoft, well, that would have been a bit odd, considering that there are mortal enemies, and this way they get to completely avoid that, which is certainly a good thing for them. But one thing that gets me is that basically the Sony PlayStation 3 delay is all because of Blu-ray discs not having copyright protection yet. You know what? I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I really don't. By this point, we would at least have some demos out there of what the PlayStation 3 would be capable of, and all we've really seen is tech demos, which, guess what, is not what we're looking for. We want gameplay demos. We want things that we'll actually be able to physically see and review. That'd be nice. You know, a lot of these companies like CNET and IGN and even things like Digital Life like to get reviews of the systems before they come out. And so far, there hasn't been any content to review. All we've seen are these static demos. And they say that the graphics were not pre-rendered in those tech demos, but you know what? I don't believe it for a second. I really don't. For a while there, I thought maybe they were telling the truth, but the fact that we have not actually seen the inner workings of a PlayStation 3, other than the floor demos that we've seen, which aren't even floor demos, they're behind glass. In the past couple of times the PlayStation 3 has been on display, that boomerang controller that it originally had on display was not even in the display. You know what that means? Well, it basically means that it looks like PlayStation is redesigning the controller, and I would not be surprised if they're trying to redesign it to get rid of those components that they're paying immersion for. That would probably make sense at this point now, wouldn't it? But Sony in general is getting deep in the muck. I mean, it's a major problem for anybody when something gets delayed, especially when you're Sony. After all the stuff that you've done in the past 6 or 7 months, with the copyright protection problems with the CDs, with the delay of the PlayStation 3, with the PSP really not having too many games to look forward to, Sony is dropping in the ranks ever so slowly, and it's going to pick up fast really, really soon. People like to see action out of their game companies. They do not like to see static, and that is all you're seeing out of Sony right now. And I really don't know if that's going to change in the next couple of months. In fact, I might actually be looking more towards a Nintendo Revolution at this point, as at least with the Revolution, you see something that's going to be coming out soon. You know, it doesn't look like Nintendo's going to be delaying this at all. And the price tag is certainly lower than the projected, wait for it, $900 that people are saying the PlayStation 3 would have to cost in order for Sony to even get any profit at all. And, well, I'm sure it's not going to be $900, but I'm sure it's still going to be damn expensive. The Nintendo Revolution, much less expensive. So gamers might go for that over the PlayStation 3 at this point, and I don't blame them. And even when it comes out, I'm going to wait a little bit, because I'm sure that if there are any problems, if there are any bugs, they'll get fixed in later versions. So sit back and wait a while, guys, because the PlayStation 3 is a long ways away. And I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so because, well, I was one of the many guys who predicted this a while back when all we saw was those behind-the-glass PlayStation 3s. But, well, now we know for sure. And like I said, it's not because of the Blu-ray copyright protection. It's for many more reasons than that, and I'm sure they're probably not going to reveal what the reasons are because they don't want you to know how far behind they are. Somebody screwed up along the way, and I think it was Sony. So, November, hopefully. It could be 2007 for all we know. We're just going to have to wait and see, folks. As always, just going to have to wait and see. So it makes perfect sense to go from the Blu-ray side to the HD DVD side, and well, that's just what I'm going to do. Engadget had a report earlier this week about a delay on HD DVD discs. Now the players are still scheduled to come out as is, but you might have to wait a bit longer for that content. And here's a report out of Engadget. If you've already pre-ordered some HD DVD videos for that HD DVD player that you also pre-ordered, you may end up getting the deck before you get the flicks. Uh-oh. Warner Home Video, the only studio that had set a firm date for a rollout of HD DVD movies, has now backed off and won't commit to a specific timetable. The company had originally planned to launch a slate of films including Batman Begins and Million Dollar Baby on March 28th, and had even allowed major retailers such as Walmart and Best Buy to take pre-orders. However, division head Ron Sanders now says the outlook is tenuous. We're still coming out with an initial slate, but we may be a week or two late. We just don't know. That can't be good news for the Toshiba, which is also promoting its new HD DVD players with a national roadshow and still plans to have players in stores by the end of the month, whether or not there's anything to watch on them. Bum, bum, bum. Now, the fact that Warner Brothers said that it's going to be delayed about 2 to 3 weeks, I would add a couple more weeks onto that. There's never just a 1 or 2 week delay on things like this. And I would not be surprised if it's delayed even longer than that in the long run. And also, the thing is about initial releases is that a lot of the stuff that they do on initial releases, stuff that has already been released on DVD. I mean, that's a given, obviously. But for stuff that I already have on DVD, for things like, for instance, Batman Begins, which was going to be a part of this first wave and still is going to be part of the first wave, but you're just going to have to wait a bit longer for it, is that I already have it on DVD. I have the deluxe box set of Batman Begins that even came with a small little trade paperback, and it's the reason why I got things like Batman The Long Halloween, and I'll even say it's the reason why I got Batman The Killing Joke, because Batman Begins got me into Batman again. I was reading it mostly for the Jason Todd storyline in Batman that was running for a little while there, the Red Hood stuff, and that was pretty good, but Batman Begins got me back into Batman for the first time in years since Batman the Animated Series, basically, and I wanted to read more, so I went out and bought the comics. But one thing I am not going to do is pay the money on an HD DVD player just to watch Batman Begins, because guess what? I have it already, and since I have it already, what's the point of getting it again? Now, a lot of people, including Sean Whalen, who was on my show for the Showcase Spotlight a little while back, basically said that he knows he's going to end up buying all these things again. And you know what? That's the marketing plan, isn't it? They get people to buy stuff over and over again. And, well, they make money off of it. And you know what? Good for them, I guess. Because they know what the consumers want. Even if the consumers don't know they want it, they want it. They're going to go out and buy all their stuff all over again because, well, an HD DVD player just looks so much more shiny, doesn't it? And also, you'll get to watch them in HD quality. Which, by the way, DVDs are already in great quality in the first place. And the DVD player that I have at home, which is a Bose system DVD player, basically came with the Bose system, was pretty damn good quality. It actually upgraded the signal a lot. And that's even without using any HDMI cable or any component cables. It's just regular inputs, and it looks beautiful. I can see the pores just like I can on an HD player, but obviously HD is going to add more color to it and more perspective to it, and it's just going to look damn better. But again, what's the point of getting a DVD player if there's no content for it? Yeah, that's always an issue. Million Dollar Baby is a movie that I have not seen that I'd like to see. A lot of people have told me that it's a great movie, so I'd like to see it. And that might actually be something I'd want to get on HD DVD, especially considering that it's coming in the first wave. I am going to wait on HD DVD and Blu-ray for that matter, because, well, first of all, I want to see who wins. Because if they have these competing Blu-ray and HD DVDs out, one of them has to win eventually, just like Beta and VHS. One of them is going to beat the other. I think it's going to be HD DVD, honestly, because HD DVD sounds much more like the next generation of DVDs. You know what Blu-ray sounds like? It sounds like a cleaning fluid, something you would use for glass or something like that. It doesn't really sound too much like something you'd find in technology. But that's what Sony's calling it, so good for them, I guess. And the PlayStation 3 will use it, and I'm sure it'll, you know, be nice and all that once they actually get the copyright protection down. And for all we know, this could be one of the reasons why HD DVD is getting delayed due to copyright protection. We don't know. We just don't know. But them delaying it is probably not the best idea, especially since people have been waiting for this for a while. Any delays are bound to make people question a bit, especially when they don't tell you why it's being delayed. It's just being delayed at this point. Maybe we'll get an official announcement as to why it was sometime soon, but until then, people are just left to speculate. And when they speculate, they spread rumors. And rumors lead to people doubting things. Always been the case, always will be the case. Whether we like it or not, whether Sony likes it or not, whether HD DVD likes it or not, and whether I like it or not, and I sort of like it. Moving on from the HD DVD to the video games, I have been a fan of Katamari Damacy ever since I played it for the first time. And I wish I had some Katamari Damacy music on me, but I don't. So I'll just hum na 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 do. All right, I promise that was the end of that. But I reviewed Katamari Damacy a long time ago, like episode 3 or 4. And oh my dear God, this is episode 27. It is really hard to believe that I have done 27 episodes now. It's like everything like flies by. I guess everything does when you're having fun, and I love doing this show, even when it doesn't come out, but don't want to get myself angry all over again. But I love doing the show. Hey, that's the whole reason why I'm re-recording this, because I love doing the show and I know that you guys love listening to it. So hell, there we go. But one of the reviews I did was for Katamari Damacy, and we love Katamari the sequel, and it looked like that was going to be it for the Katamari Damacy series, except for the PSP version of the game, which is coming out very, very soon. And you know, for me, I don't even know if the idea of another Katamari Damacy game is a good one. We're just really going to have to wait and see. And this one comes out of Joystick. Joystick, one of my favorite places to get news. The web space for We Love Katamari will close in 3 days, according to the countdown introducing the site. And it's actually 1 day now. By the time you guys get this, it'll probably be the day. And once I find out what it is, I'll probably put out a special report from my house to let you guys know what's going on, for those of you who won't be keeping up on it. But according to the site, while the upcoming Me and My Katamari game supposedly marks the end of the series, 1UP believes this closure could be signs of an impending announcement concerning, you guessed it, more King of Cosmos. Put your tinfoil hats to the side for a second and note their reasoning. Number 1. The last time the Katamari website was closed, it reopened soon after to introduce We Love Katamari. Number 2. The site's closure, Friday, March 17th, is the day before all the new Japanese game magazines hit newsstands. That's damn good timing. Number three, March 18th also marks the two-year anniversary of the release of the original Katamari Damacy in Japan. Could the site reopen in celebration? We don't know. A new Katamari sequel, in honor of its amazing two-year run, is not out of the question, even without the consent of the series creator, who has stated on record that he plans to now move on and design children's playgrounds. Oh my dear God. To go from the most psychedelic game in the history of gaming to designing playgrounds for kids is an interesting change of job. What's he going to do? Have a giant ball in the middle of the center that, you know, they can roll around and pick stuff up? And I love how the Katamari ball is basically just like the next generation of duct tape. Things just get picked up magically. Yee-haw. Booyah. I don't know about this. I mean, while I did love both games, I think it's good where it is, especially without the creator being involved, because, well, he made Katamari what it is. I mean, he went out there and made this insane game and then decided to make the second one when they said that they were thinking about making a Christmas-themed We Love Katamari. And thank God they did not, because Katamari Damacy Christmas Edition is not something I want to see, and that's something that I would be very afraid of once things get settled. I would hate to see a Christmas edition come out or something like that, because that would just demean the entire series. And, well, Katamari Damacy is non-denominational in the first place, so making a Christmas game would be a bad idea. What I think is going to happen, and this is a good way to celebrate 2 years of the game, they're probably going to end up releasing the game, and this is my idea of it. I could be completely wrong here, but I think they're going to release both games in one DVD. Release Katamari Damacy and We Love Katamari as one game and have, you know, the option to choose between the two and maybe add a few things here and there and basically make it like a 1999 title and just make it a greatest hits or something like that. That would be a pretty good idea, at least to me. But again, for all we know, Namco could be looking to basically go to the bank and try to get as much out of Katamari Damacy as they can possibly get. They've gotten a lot so far, but well, it wouldn't be the first time that a game series continues long after the creator leaves the game. I mean, the original creators of Chrono Cross are no longer with Square. I'd really love for them to actually make another Chrono someday. But, you know what? Without the creators, I don't know if it would actually be good. Just like, I don't know if this game would be good without the creators involved for Katamari Damacy. So, I think it's a bad idea to come out with another one, but then again, I don't work in the game industry, so I can't really say whether they're going to or not. We'll just have to wait and see. Like so much things in life, we're just going to have to wait and see. There's a lot of waiting and seeing going on in today's episode. I realized that, and well, hey, I mean, when things are uncertain, what are you supposed to do other than sit back, relax, and wait for solid news to come out? And by tomorrow, we'll hopefully have solid news on what this relaunch of the Katamari Damacy site is all about. Are we going to get a new Katamari? Or are we just going to get the old one repackaged? Or are we going to possibly get the PSP version ported over to the PlayStation 2? Or maybe a PlayStation 3 game? Wow. That would be great news for Sony, to get a great series like Katamari going over to the PlayStation 3, but again, who knows? You really don't. And by the way, for all we know, this could be like a port to the Xbox, which would screw over a lot of the fans of the series because, well, not only would Xbox 360 be getting better graphics Katamari, but, well, you wouldn't be getting on the PlayStation, which sucks. I love exclusives sometimes, and, well, Katamari is one of those exclusives that belongs with PlayStation. If it went over to Xbox, it just wouldn't be the same, I think. Just like if they made another one, it wouldn't be the same. But, like I said, it's all up to Namco. Hopefully they'll make the right choice, but I doubt it. You know, I love superheroes. It's always been my favorite genre of comics for a long, long time, and, well, it's what I grew up with. Now, reality shows have been sweeping the nation for a long, long time now. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? To me, it's a bad thing, mostly because I hate them, and I really wish that they would stop. But, you know, there were a couple that were pretty decent along the way. But what is this nation's, and what is this world's obsession with seeing people embarrassed? What is this world's obsession with seeing fake lives lived out on TV? And that's what reality shows are. You're watching a whole bunch of people walk around a screen, their entire life being fed to them by a camera. I mean, do real people walk around life going home to their family full of celebrities? No, of course not. Do real people go home to their island and eat snake at night? No, of course not. Do real people go home to live in a house to find out what happens when people stop being polite and start being real? No, they do not. Regular people like you and me, we just sit back and relax and, well, every now and then we go out and we have a good time. No cameras follow us. That's it. The closest thing I come to a camera is when I'm doing a project for one of my classes. Or, I guess the microphone is probably the closest thing I come to a camera because, well, it's sort of like being on camera, only there's no camera. You just hear your voice. And you know what? I think I look better this way. But the Sci-Fi Channel is making a reality show out of superheroes. And I fear for my life. I really do. The Sci-Fi Channel, Nash Entertainment, creators of Meet My Folks, For Love or Money, and Who Wants to Marry My Dad, and legendary comic book creator Stan Lee, Excelsior, will produce a 6-episode, 1-hour weekly competition reality series that will challenge a lucky few to create their very own superhero and reward the winner with the best reality competition prize yet, immortality, sort of. All you'll need is an original idea for a superhero, a killer costume, and some real superhero mojo. The winner of this 6-week competition will walk away with their superhero immortalized in a new comic book created by Stan Lee himself. It gets better! The winning character will also appear in an original Sci-Fi Channel movie. In nationwide open casting calls, potential heroes will arrive in costume to prove their mettle, revealing the true nature of their superhuman abilities and invoking the noble credos by which they live. Make no mistake, you don't have to love comic books to be the superhero we're looking for. If you have a great imagination, love adventure, and have a hero hiding inside of you, and that actually sounds like something you might want to get checked out by the doctor, we want you on this show. Students, teachers, firemen, soccer moms, lend me your ears. You're all invited to try out to see if you've got what it takes. From thousands of hopefuls, Stanley would choose 11 lucky finalists to move into a secret lair. Yeah, it actually says secret lair. And compete for the opportunity to become a real-life superhero. Now, right away, when I see the idea of who wants to be a superhero, and I'm glad it's not who wants to marry a superhero because I hear Superman's a dick, but one thing that immediately comes to mind is that I really hope this is not just a way to humiliate geeks. Because you know that the fanboys will be coming out in droves to try and get their idea pitched to Sci-Fi Channel and end up as a series. You know it's going to happen. You totally do. And, well, these are probably going to be the guys that I hate looking at a comic shop. Mind you, most geeks are pretty cool. But then there are the fanboys, and the fanboys are people that are known for their funk and are also known for their girth. Okay, no, I kid about that. I completely kid about that. It's a stereotype, and I don't like it. I really don't. Not all geeks are fat. Most of them are actually pretty damn good looking. But again, society doesn't know this, and another thing I'm afraid of is that they'll just go for the stereotypes and not get real people to be one of those 11 finalists. It's a problem. But the fanboys will be there in droves, and these will be the type of guys that are like, oh, you know, I love the Legion of Superhero series, but one thing is that I hate it is that in issue number 11, Dream Girl's pants were green, and they're supposed to be navy blue, and I'm going to write to DC and tell them about it, and they're going to give me a baldy because I'm the best person ever, and I love me. Yeah, you know what? Those are the people that they don't need. What they need are the talented and inspired geeks that make us proud to be geeks. The type of guys that just are, you know, normal guys who, well, like comics. There are plenty out there. I'm one of them, I think. I'm sort of normal, if not for the fact that I'm nuts. But plenty of guys out there are just normal guys like you and me who love stuff that are geeky. I'm sure there probably will be at least one or two people that are stereotypical that will make it in, but I hope that they actually widen the crowd to let as many people in as possible, and not just comic book guy from The Simpsons over and over again. And another thing also, I'm all right with Stan Lee picking the winner of this series, but him writing the comic, I don't know about that. And nothing against Stan Lee at all. He's a wonderful creator. If not for him, we wouldn't have amazing things like Amazing Spider-Man and The Hulk and The Fantastic Four. He created so many wonderful superheroes over his time, and I thank him for it time and time again. He is a great guy. When he's been interviewed, I can tell that, you know, he definitely cares about his work, and I respect him for it. I really do. But there's one thing about Stan Lee's work is that it's meant for a Silver Age audience, and that's very apparent. Even when he did that Just Imagine series of books with DC a couple years back, it just really didn't flow for me. It was like his style had not aged well. And, well, people who are going to be looking at this comic book will probably want to see a well-written comic that fits with comic books of today's age. The type of comics that you get from Mark Miller or from Brian Michael Bendis, or from guys like Brian K. Vaughan. And I'd love to see Brian K. Vaughan write this, or Bill Willingham, or guys like that. Guys that have a style for the now, not for the then. Stan Lee has a style for the then. And again, like I said, nothing against Stan Lee at all, because he's a great, great creator, but I really don't think he's right to write this. Pick it by all means, because he knows good when he sees it. Write it, give it to somebody else, but what are you going to do? Also, the Sci-Fi Channel movie that will come with this. When was the last good Sci-Fi Channel TV movie you saw? And I say that only because they put out a lot of bad stuff. I'm sorry. Sci-Fi Channel does very, very good TV series from now on. Every now and then, Battlestar Galactica is a good example of that. Stargate SG-1, they've continued that and done a great job with it. Stargate Atlantis is very good. Farscape was great when it was on the air, but then they canceled it early, the bastards. Sliders was great when it was on the air, except for when it was on Sci-Fi. Sorry, I had to say it. But it seems like all they do is make movies with John Rhys Davies now and, you know, have him face, like, giant snakes and monsters. It's like a requirement now for a Sci-Fi Channel movie. There has to be John Rhys Davies in it. And, again, John Rhys Davies was great on Sliders, except for when they killed him off and then it went downhill. Here's my Sliders rant for today. But if there's one thing that I want to see from this who wants to be a superhero is respect. That's it. Respect the genre. Give it something that it deserves. Give it one hell of a movie with one hell of a director and one hell of a budget and put out something great. Give it one hell of a comic book with great art and great story and make it feel real. Make the dream of a comic book fan come true. Make his inspiration come to life. That's something that is very hard to do. And I'm really hoping that Who Wants to Be a Superhero is real, and not just one of those humiliating reality shows out there. Because geeks get enough humiliation. Too many people think that we're something that we're not. And I hate that about society. I really do. Too many people out there think that geeks are just, you know, these guys who hide in the closet and just are on the internet all day. No, we're regular people just like you and me. And I say that again, realizing that I am a geek. But what are you going to do? Please, put out a product that's good and not laughable, because we've just had it with the humiliation. And geeks need to be affirmed on television. Give them something to look up to, not something to hate. Please, Sci-Fi, all right? I stuck through you with seasons 4 and 5 of Sliders. You owe me. A lot of Macintosh guys out there, and a lot of computer guys in general, have to work with both operating systems, or maybe even all three operating systems on a regular basis: Linux, Windows, and Macintosh. All these OSs are very, very different. All these OSs take time to adjust to, and all these OSs are incredibly incompatible. Not saying that their content isn't compatible, but, well, you really can't run both of them at the same time too well, except for maybe Linux, because Linux does a very good job of meshing with pretty much every system out there. But, well, Mac and Windows really don't like each other too much. That is until Macintosh decided to go to the Intel chip, and right away people thought that they would have an opportunity to finally be able to dual boot their Macintosh OS with a Windows XP. Of course it didn't happen, because Macintosh does not use BIOS, and because of that, it's almost impossible to get Windows running on a Macintosh machine. Until now. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much to redhardware.co.uk. Mac Boots Windows Contest 1. Bum-ba-da-dum. The $13,000 prize for whoever gets a Windows XP to dual boot on an Intel-based Mac has been won, according to the website created to promote the competition. At this stage, it's not clear who's going to walk off with the cash or whether their code will make it to a wider audience. The contest at winxponmac.com was started last month by Colin Niederkum. I'm sure I mispronounced that terribly, to prove to his boss that replacing an IBM desktop PC with a MacBook Pro made sense because the machine would run Windows XP natively as well as Mac OS X. Apple has said in the past it will do nothing to prevent Mac owners from running Windows on x86-based Macs. It appears more keen on preventing Mac OS X being run on generic x86 hardware. However, the new Mac's boot process uses Intel's Extensible Firmware Interface, EFI, system rather than a standard PC BIOS, and that has hampered attempts to boot XP on the machines. Last week, photos began appearing on the web of an iMac apparently running XP. Was it real or was it a hoax? The coder, going by the handle Narf2006 this week, posted a video purportedly showing the boot process in action. Real or not, Niederkum has said the contest has been won, so whoever's solution arrives first, he's presumably tested it on his brand new MacBook Pro and found it works. And it has actually been pretty much confirmed at this point. Niederkum's rules required the winning solution to provide the user with a choice of operating systems at startup. Whichever one the users select, it shouldn't interfere with the other dormant OS. Forum postings have alleged the bootloader code will be made available, though there seems nothing out there yet, though that has changed. If it does, what then? Microsoft will certainly sell some more upgrade boxes, so it'll be happy. The Apple may be quietly satisfied in the knowledge businesses can buy its machines and still run all their old applications. It's no doubt hoping this will encourage Mac sales by stealth. Now, like I said, plenty of people out there love the idea of being able to use Mac and Windows at the same time, because it just leads to so much less hassle for programmers. I mean, a lot of guys need to make sure that their program will work perfectly on Mac and Windows XP. And they're two different systems. They really are. Also, web pages sometimes show up differently on a Mac than they do on a Windows machine. So with this process, life gets so much easier. You don't have to get up and go to your other computer. No, just use it on the same one. And there has actually been a loader released at, I believe, this website, and I will have it in the show notes, that will allow you to use Windows XP and Mac OS X at the same time. And this guy just won $13,000 for doing this. And you know what? Great, great, great job by him. Because, well, even when you're inspired by money, doing something great is something that doesn't happen often. And he did something amazing. He really did. He got Mac and Microsoft on the same machine, working as one. That's awesome. It kicks ass. Obviously, not having Mac with a start menu, that'd be crazy. No, two different operating systems, two different opportunities to use your computer. And, well, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't have a Mac right now. I might have one someday soon. well, not too soon, but hopefully sometime in the future I will get myself an iBook or an iMac. But, well, hey, this gives me more inspiration once I do actually go out there and get myself a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Macintosh. I'll know that I'll have an opportunity to run my old Windows stuff if I want to. And, well, that's a great idea. It really is. They outdid themselves with this, and, well, props to Narf, Narf Point Egad, for getting this done. And, well, hey, every now and then, good stuff happens to people. And, well, this looks like it's pretty good stuff to me. Hopefully it is. Television is about to use the Force, and I'm sure that's probably going to be one of their advertising slogans, but yeah, Star Wars is done with the movies. All six movies have been made, and no, there will not be a third series of three movies. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care if it was supposed to be a nine-movie series. I highly doubt that there will be a episode 7, 8, and 9. It doesn't really make too much sense at this point. But there will indeed be television, and BBC News has all the information on that. Star Wars series to run and run. The TV spinoff of the Star Wars franchise will run to at least 100 episodes. Good idea this is, according to producer Rick McCullum. He told BBC Radio 1 the writing team would soon be meeting to start on the project, which would begin filming in 2008 and be ready the same year. Hopefully, if we can make it work and everybody's excited and watches it, we will keep on going, said McCullum. The series will be set between episodes 3 and 4 of the film saga. It will cover the 20 years in the life of Luke Skywalker growing up that remains a mystery to most filmgoers. McCullum said there would be a whole bunch of new characters and the series would be much more dramatic and darker. He added that it was unlikely any of the stars of the movie would be involved in the TV series. And I mean, it probably makes sense not to have anybody from the movie series involved with the TV series because, well, their ages really don't match up too much at this point. I mean, could you imagine Harrison Ford as Han Solo at this point when he's, like, in his 50s? Now, it wouldn't look right, and it wouldn't make sense for him to be older after being so young in the first trilogy. And, by the way, Indiana Jones is coming soon. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But, anyway, the Star Wars TV series could be really, really good, or it could be the worst thing we've ever seen. We don't know until we see it. Like I said, that's the theme of today's show. We don't know until we see it. I'm thinking that a good product will be put out there, and, you know, I am a fan of Star Wars. I'm a fan of the first trilogy and the second trilogy, although the episodes 1 and 2 were sort of suck. The third one was much better, except for, is Padme alive? No! That was the worst part ever in the history of any movie ever. I'm sorry, you don't get James Earl Jones to scream. He's not a screamer. He's not a screamer. Could you imagine him going, this is CNN? You know, it just doesn't work. But I guess Star Wars did not catch on about that, although they probably have by now, considering that that's the thing that everybody makes fun of more than anything when it comes to Star Wars. So, well, they're getting theirs. But I think it's a good idea to tell the story of Luke Skywalker in his first couple of years alive. And they're probably going to need about 100 episodes to tell this. But again, to pretty much say that they're going to be looking for 100 episodes before it starts, well, first of all, are they going to be guaranteed 100 episodes? Or are they just really hoping to get 100 episodes? That's the question. I mean, for all we know, they could do like 20 episodes and we find out it's terrible and then they're off the air. Well, we won't know until it happens. Well, I'm just glad that Alias made 100 episodes to completely segue to something completely different, but that'll be off the air soon because, well, Jennifer Garner is just not nearly as good as she used to be anymore, and the series is not nearly as good as it used to be anymore, even though I still like it. It's just, you can tell that it's a drop-off and they just gotta end it. But Star Wars, who knows if the series is gonna be good enough to last 100 episodes? I hope it is. I really do. But Well, if it's not, then I hope they cancel it beforehand. I hope they just don't keep it running to 100 because, well, that's what they said that they would do because, well, guess what? Fox told Arrested Development that they would have a full season this year and they cut it to 13, you know? That's what executives do. They promise people things and then decide, you know what, on second thought, maybe not. I know that I decided that you would do this before, but maybe not this time, maybe next time, maybe in 8 years, maybe in 12 years. I'll wait and see. I'm really not in the mood for this right now. Go away. You're scaring me. Go run to your mother or something. But, well, Anakin Skywalker's done with. It's time to tell Luke's story. And I'm wondering, too, like, are we going to see Darth Vader off in the distance? Is he just going to focus on Luke's first 20 years? Or are we going to see some of the old characters with new people behind them? Nobody knows, except for George Lucas, I guess, and except for the guys who are writing it. But, well, I hope it's good for the sake of Star Wars fans, for the sake of geeks everywhere. I really hope it turns out to be great and worth 100 episodes. Just like I really, really hope that the Indiana Jones movie is great because, well, Harrison Ford is still good enough to be making Indiana Jones movies, right? 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 I mean, he's not in a wheelchair yet or anything like that, so I guess he can still do it. And, well, hopefully George Lucas still has it in him to make damn good Star Wars. I mean, if episode 3 was any idea of his creativity, the TV series will be damn good, and, well, I'll watch it. And you know what? It'll take a couple episodes for me to get an idea of it. Like, if the first episode sucks, I'm not going to turn it off and say, oh, never again. I'll give it at least, like, 8 or 9 episodes to see if it catches on, because, hell, if they're looking for 100, they're going to have a story by 8 or 9. And also, when you guarantee 100 episodes for something, it better be worth it. I mean, there better not be a resolution in episode 3, and then after that, nothing. Because, well, that's 97 episodes of absolutely nothing. So, yeah, plan it out nicely, and you might have something great. Or you might have less suck. Time will tell, folks. Time will tell. It's wind-up time here on Geek Speak, where we switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things, and what else could I possibly talk about other than Barry Bonds? Mr. Roids himself. Guess what? He got cut. Well, not technically yet. Don't get your hopes up yet. It hasn't officially been announced or anything, but Bud Selig has stated that he will be hiring independent counsel to look into Barry Bonds' past couple of years to see whether he's been using steroids or not. And saying that you're going to check to see if Barry Bonds has used steroids is like saying that you're going to check to see if your cow has been using steroids or not before filleting it or something. It's the sort of thing that's pretty much a given at this point. Barry Bonds did it. When you look at Barry Bonds in 1998, it's a different guy, literally. I mean, when you look at it, his head got huge. His body got huge. There is no way, shape, or form that anybody could get that buff and grow 3 hat sizes without the assistance of steroids in a matter of a year. Unless he had, like, the mumps or something, there's no excuse for his head getting bigger. I mean, come on. And the reason why Bud Selig has finally decided to do this is because, well, he's been threatened. And that's pretty much the only way to get Bud Selig to do anything, so I'm really glad that he finally decided to do it. But he got threatened. Absolutely threatened by Congress. And, well, when Congress threatens you, you either do what they want to do, or you get screwed. And now Bud Selig is going to let them do what they want to do. And hopefully this independent counsel won't be biased towards Bud Selig at all, because Bud Selig is also to blame in this, because he turned a blind eye to steroids for way too long. Thanks to the Players Association telling him that he couldn't even put his policy in order, he knew about steroids and he just let it go. And, well, hopefully Selig will pay for that. I really would like to see him removed as baseball commissioner. Well, maybe. All right, you know what? On second thought, at least have him reprimanded, at least have him fined, at least have him suspended or something, and then have him back. Because you know what? Who else would be baseball commissioner at this point? I really don't even know. But hopefully they will suspend indefinitely Barry Bonds, because I do not want to see him break Hank Aaron's record. Hank Aaron got that record legitimately. Barry Bonds did not. It's Barry Bonds' steroids that will get him that record, not Barry Bonds. He was a great player before he took the steroids, and then he became a monster. And, well, now he's going to pay for it. That book out there opened up everybody's eyes. There's an article on ESPN a little while ago, only about 3 or 4 days ago, that stated that he told Ken Griffey Jr. that he was sick and tired of being second fiddle to guys like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, that he was going to start using hard stuff. Well, guess what? He did. And, well, his health is going to pay the price someday. It really is. And now his career is going to pay the price. Just like Rafael Palmeiro, Barry Bonds, I really hope you get caught. And I really hope it's before you break Hank Aaron's record. And even if you break the record, there better be an asterisk, because Hank deserves it. You don't. That was the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every single Monday from 3 to 4 here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear me, Ian Levenstein, along with Jason Green, Joey Maggs, the ghost of Michael Hornstein, the ghost of the Anti-Monitor, and the ghost of Earth 2 Huntress on the Sporting Goods. The email address of GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums at speakgeekspeak.com/forums, FORUMS. And I'll give you yet another hint. There's still something coming soon. Not ready to announce it yet, but you'll be hearing my voice on something else sometime soon. So really hope you guys can't get enough of me, because you'll be hearing more of me pretty soon. And also, don't forget to vote for me on Podcast Alley. The link is in my show notes. And again, apologies if I sounded a bit out of it, because, well, I kind of am, because I'm still a bit pissed from what happened before. But hopefully it was a nice, enjoyable episode of GeekSpeak, and hopefully you guys loved it as much as I loved recording the first one, and this one was pretty good too. So until next Thursday, although you'll probably hear from me for about 5 or 6 minutes when the Katamari Damacy announcement comes out, my name is Ian Levenstein. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. I will see you next time. This is not the only problem that Microsoft, not Microsoft, PlayStation, blah, 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 blah. Specifications. What is the word specifications? Oh my god, I can't get the word out. The company is aiming, would be a second black market for Sony, which also, black market? Wow. Money more reasons than that. That's great. Katamari Damacy is non-dominational. That is the worst club I've ever made in my life. Creators of when was the last good sci-fi channel TV? It sort of makes sense not to have anybody from the TV series involved. That's great. Nobody from the TV series involved in the TV series. Hi-o! We'll be right back. Hi-o! It's time to Speak Geek with the Geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.